best kids in America. I really do. I'm really proud of our kids. I really am. I was thinking about Josh Howard the other day. I really love Josh. He's a great kid. I get to see Josh because he comes to our school and he's, of course, faithful in our services. You're going to get a better kid than Josh. They grow up and then they got to leave. I'm excited about him. He wants to be in aviation for fly missionaries. Amen. He'll go off to some Bible college and they'll have him. I'll miss him, won't you? I just want you to tell you, I'll tell you, your preacher loves you, son. You're a special young man. Thank God for him. Amen. Someday we get big enough, we'll have our own Bible college and have all these things. We won't have to lose our kids. Amen. But until that day happens, we have to let them go. So I want to help them. I want to help them go forward. Oh, I want to help them to serve God. Amen. And so let's be a blessing to them while we can, when we can. I want to talk to you about a subject that many people have often asked. And the Lord put it in my heart to preach it. Where do babies go when they die? You know, how many have ever put a, how many have ever done a crossword puzzle? I mean, not a crossword, but a puzzle. You know, all the little pieces, like a 1,000-piece puzzle or 500-piece. How many have ever done one of those puzzles? When you first do it, what's the first thing you put on? The border. You put the border in, and then after you get the border in, then you do you fit the pieces in, and eventually it. It all of a sudden it takes hold, and all of a sudden you got a picture there, amen. And Isaiah, I want to quote you a scripture. Don't, this is not my text, but in Isaiah chapter 28, the scripture says this in verse 9 and 10: Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And today, Brother Kerry, I'm going to do a lot of Bible scriptures with you folks. And Brian, I'm going to put a border, and then I'm going to start putting the different pieces of the puzzle in. And then after, when I get, see, how many when you first do it, you say, boy, I wonder if it's ever going to look like it's supposed to look. Well, today I'm going to be giving you lots of pieces of the puzzle, but don't give up on me. Let me give you till we get the last piece in, and then I'm going to show you how beautiful God's word is about where babies go when they die. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 15. Scripture says in Matthew 19, 13, boy, it's great to see each one of you. Folks, you that visited last week, we're glad to have you back. Keep coming. You that visited today, keep coming. By the way, if you don't like me, keep. I wear on you. I'll wear on you eventually. There's something about that guy I do like. I just got to find out. Keep coming. You'll finally find something that you'll say, I like that about him. This is a great church. Amen. It's a real loving and caring church. Amen. And I didn't see Jim and Deshaun. Well, they were supposed to be here today.
Yeah, they, Jim, the teacher, he took
high school
students to New York.
Oh, I bet he forgot that last. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Well, when they get back, they're going to join this church. Even though they live a long ways away, they're going to join this church. And they, yeah. Last week, he cried. He said, preacher, I've been to all churches. He said, there's nothing like this church. He said, it's worth the drive. Amen. Amen. And they live above Middlefield. And they're still wanting to be part here. Amen. Yeah. All righty, Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Then were they brought unto him little children. Now, let me give you something about Scripture. When the Bible talks about little children, it's talking about like from 0 to 3, like infants. When it just talks about children, a lot of times it's 3 and up, you know. But when it says little children, small, you know, you're talking about real young children. Then they were brought unto him little children. They brought these little children to Jesus that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Well, I like this next verse. And he, talking about Jesus, he laid his hands on them, those little children. Amen. He put his hands on them and laid on them. He prayed over them. He loved those babies. He told the disciples, hey, come here, you stone-hearted people. You bring them babies to me. I love those babies. See, Jesus loves children. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we have in the Scripture. I sure want to be a blessing today. There's a lot of questions that people might have about where babies go when they die. I want to teach them the truth. I want to refute all the false teachings. And Father, I just want to be a blessing that these people will be know for a surety where those babies go when they die. We pray your hand will be on us all that we do today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus has said, they brought those little children. And the disciples said, oh, don't bother Jesus with them babies. And he said, ah, you get over here. He rebuked. He says, you bring those little babies there to me. I care about them little babies. I love babies. Matter of fact, I growing up, I like those songs we sing in Super Church and on the bus ministry. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I remember saying that before. Amen. Then we had Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. Great little tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Aren't those great songs? Amen. Wonder where they came from. They came from the truth of the Scriptures. Amen? And today I want to address the subject, where do babies go when they die? I'll never forget a statement years ago when I became pastor here. The lady no longer is a member here, but years ago, they were good people. And she had a baby that died. And she said, matter of fact, by the way, we've had several people in this church that have lost children. We have several members in this building right now, even with me as I speak, that have lost children. And but this lady came to me, and she was brokenhearted, and she said, Pastor, years ago I was in a Roman Catholic church, and when I was young, she was an older lady, older, and she said, when I was really young, I had a child, and the baby died. And the priest told me, because I didn't have the baby baptized, that my baby went to hell. And I told that lady, I said, that priest lied to you. That there's no such thing as that. And I said, matter of fact, I said, if I would have been your husband, and I would have been standing there, actually, even if I wouldn't have been her husband, if I'd have been standing there, I probably would have broke that priest's jaw. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I know I shouldn't say those things, but I'm just being honest with you. It's to say something. And even though that lady then, now, when she came, was saved, and she knew it wasn't true, she was still scarred, still in the back of her mind, still with the hurt and the, oh, God, please don't my baby. Listen, anyone ever says that, I don't care if they're a priest or a preacher or anyone, they don't know their Bible. Amen. Amen? And so today I want to share with you about where babies go when they die. By the way, most of those priests or anyone else, and any clerical that would say that to someone, they usually have a motive behind it. And the motive behind it is usually money. See, they in some churches, I won't say the name, but the initials is Roman Catholic. I'm in a real feisty mood today, I'll tell you. But they'll say, we'll light candles for you. Well, when a person dies, they either go to heaven or hell. You after a person dies, you can't reach them. There's no way to reach them. When they die, they either go to heaven or hell. All the candles in the world, I don't care if they're Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist. I don't care if I light candles or pray. Once a person dies, their eternity is sealed forever. And you want to either go to heaven or you go to hell. And but they do it because they'll give money to light candles or say prayers. They tell them that they're in a place called purgatory, which is, there's no such thing. The Bible never one time does the Bible say there's a purgatory. But what they say, there's a medium place between heaven and hell. There's no such thing. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. There's not once in the word, in the entire Word of God, does the Bible talk about a word or a place called purgatory. And here's the thing. I'm not attacking people, but someone needs to speak out with truth. Amen. And I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher that I don't care if it steps on the Baptist people or Lutherans. I just want truth, Brother Coolidge. Let God be true and every man a liar, and that's including me. You just take the Bible. Don't go by what I say or what man says. Take the Bible. If this world would just take the Scriptures and let the Scriptures teach them, they would not be misled. Well, the Bible never mentions purgatory ever, not one time. There's no such thing as purgatory. It's a made-up place, and what it does, it plays on people's emotions. If you give me money, I will pray and try to get your loved one out of purgatory into heaven. Well, that's a lie because there's no such purgatory. All they're trying to do is fill their pockets. I know that's a strong statement, but I'm just being honest with you. And truth sets people free. Now, there is no such middle ground, and there's no such thing talked in the Bible about purgatory. There is a word called perdition. The word perdition, and it's used 8 times in the New Testament. Every time. You know what the word perdition means? It's a place of destruction or a person of destruction. It's either talking about hell or referring to the Antichrist that comes from hell. Perdition. It says he, the son of perdition. For instance, I just quote 2 Thessalonians 2:3. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Revelation 17:8. The beast shall descend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Perdition. Perdition is talking about destruction or a person of destruction. But it's always related in context with hell. Amen? And death. Babies don't go into purgatory, and neither does anybody else, by the way. No, there's no such thing as purgatory. And babies don't go to perdition. Today, and there is a perdition, but babies don't go to perdition. Today I want to answer some questions and address and prove some false statements that people are making about babies and in Scripture that I want to show you forth what real truth is. Believe God's word. Take God's Bible. I want you to follow me in God's Bible today and see what God says. Amen? And that's what really counts, what God says. Now notice, think about all the babies that died down through the ages of time. Think with me. Back in Noah's day, back in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, remember they had the flood? Remember, there was millions. There might have been multi-millions of people. There was only 8 people in the ark. Brother Eddie, that means, Miss Liz, that means there had to be multi-thousands, maybe millions of babies that died in the flood. I wonder where did those babies go when they died? In Jesus' day, in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, you read about the King Herod when the wise men didn't come back. He knew he had the Bible says in Matthew 2:16, it said that he had all the babies killed from 2 years and under. He had them all killed. Where did all those babies go that died back in Jesus' day? Wonder what happened to those babies. Then in our day, we have babies dying in fires and different mishaps. The greatest tragedy of our day, though, in baby killing is abortions. We've had 53 million babies killed. 53 million babies killed in abortion. And that's murder, by the way. Amen. Abortion's murder. Thank you. I've told doctors, if you do abortion, you're a murderer. They say, well, no, abortion's a murder. Because that what they destroy is a baby. It's a real person. Amen? And so, where do those babies go? Where do they go? I'd like you to look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Where do babies go when they die? Well, I'm going to just give you one scripture about what God thinks about the babies. I'm going to give you several. But look at Psalms 139 to start with. And look at verse 13. Psalms 139, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He's talking about that undeveloped child. Are you with me? When a man and lady come and they conceive, conception. I'm here with me. All right, now watch. Look what God says at conception. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Watch verse 15. My substance, the amino acids and everything that would come together, are you with me? My substance was not hid from thee when I was a month old, a week old, a day old, 2 months old. Are you with me? 5 hours old. Are you with me? 1 minute old. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes, God's eyes, did see my substance, yet being unperfect. No, it didn't have a form of a body yet. Didn't have a form of a body yet. Are you with me? Yet being unperfect, in thy book, God's book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, hey, Josh, I was picking on, today is pick on Josh Day. Josh, when you were first conceived, even though you had no shape, God knew you were going to look, and he knew how tall you were going to be. He knew what the color of your eyes. He knew exactly what, he knew you are exactly what, God knew what you were going to be, what you are right now, amen, before you became that. Right. Levi, God knew what you were going to look like before you ever even started forming. Why, hello? Amen. That's what it says there. Are you with me? See, God looks at, God says those babies in there, they're real. They're living. They're real. That's a real child. Even though he's not formed, God says, I see what they're going to be. Whether you kill him or not, I had a plan for that baby. And that baby, unfortunately, he wasn't aborted. So we got to see it when you weren't either. So we got to see what God planned for your life was. Are you with me, church? Notice, look at verse 17. Oh, this is a great verse. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh, God. Carrie, you got a baby within the womb speaking out about how God loves him or her. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, oh, God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Wow. Can you imagine all the grains of sand in the world? Can you imagine God has more precious thoughts than all the grand for you than all the sand of the world? Man. Think about it. How much does God love you? We have a thing with our grandchildren. Grandpa loves you. How much does grandpa? This much. How many have ever done that with your kids? I love you this much. God reached out his arms, yeah, and he goes through. He stretched out all over the whole universe. He said, I love you this much. Amen? That's how much God loves you today. And notice the scripture. First of all, let's address some of the statements that people make. They'll tell you that the baby has to be baptized. In a lot of churches, I don't care what denomination, they'll tell you that the baby has to be baptized to go to heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you who makes that happy, makes a person happy when an infant's baptized, not the infant. The parents. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever say to baptize a child. No, nowhere in the Bible. I want you to look at something. And by the way, baptism has no bearing on going to heaven. We get baptized because we are going to heaven. I want you to look, and I'm turning a lot of scriptures today. Look at Luke chapter 23. I'm going to give you a favorite person you're familiar with. The thief on the cross. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was the lowest of low. He's dying on the cross. Two thieves on each side of Jesus. The one thief said, get us down. If you're the Son of God, get us off this cross. The other one said, man, don't you understand? We're sinners. We deserve what we're getting, but he didn't. Notice, look at Luke 23:43. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today. Let's go back. Look at verse 41. Look at verse 41. And this is one of the thieves on the cross. And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. You got Luke 23, 41? This thief on the cross said he's repenting. He said, we deserve this. We indeed justly, for we received the reward of our deeds. But this man, Christ, had done nothing amiss. He's perfect. He shouldn't be up here. He's suffering for us. We're the guilty. He's the innocent, just like David sang. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man got saved right before he died. He never got baptized. And Jesus said, see, it wasn't the baptism that gets him to heaven. It's when he repented and believed on Christ. And the moment he repented and believed on Christ, Christ said, today you're saved. You're going to be with me in heaven. Baptism's got nothing to do with heaven for babies or adults. We're going to baptize them because it's a commandment of God after you get saved. But we don't baptize to be saved. We baptize because we are saved. Look at the scripture with me. Oh, I hope you'll listen to me today. I want to pour my heart and give you some great truth here. Look at John chapter 3. Look at John 3:3. I've got to hurry because time is going. I had to do a lot to talk to you about a lot of things going on in the church today. Jesus said in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto you, and by the way, he's talking to a Jewish priest, Nicodemus, a priest of the Jews, by the way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's not talking about baptism. When you were born, you're in a water sack. They had to break the water. That's when you come out. So you got an earth. The water is an earthly birth. It must be born of water and of the Spirit. You got to have a spiritual. You got to have an earthly birth. Then you got to have a spiritual birth. How many see that? It cannot enter that now. And Jesus says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh, the water birth, breaking the water sack, earthly birth, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. I don't care if you're a young person or an adult. You want to go to heaven, you must be born again. You must repent. You must trust Christ. Can a baby repent? They don't understand that. Can an infant baby trust Christ? They don't even know. They don't even realize they're born. How can an infant baby that doesn't even have mind that a reality that they're actually coming to this earth, how can they have the reality to trust Christ as their Savior when they don't even know about their own birth yet? Hello? By the way, when I was born, Bud, I know I was there, but I don't remember none of it. I don't. I remember I was standing out when David Richard was born. I remember standing outside the door, and I heard a, wah, wah! And the nurse came out and said, you got a big boy in there. And I said, amen, praise God, hallelujah. But David don't remember nothing. A lot of you, they had a smack like you. When you, a lot of you came out, you didn't breathe, so they whop, whop on the old seat. Got you going. You don't remember none of that. You don't remember none of that. You know why? We were too young to understand. Hello? See, the kingdom of God, you got to understand about Christ before you go there. So a baby, if they can't understand, how can they be held accountable? Hello? Stay with me. I'm putting the border up, and I'm going to be putting the puzzles in. Are you with me? Don't turn me off. Listen, a baby doesn't understand how to be saved. A baby doesn't understand anything about the new birth. A baby doesn't even understand about their own birth, let alone their spiritual birth. What does the Bible say about baptism? Look at the book of Acts. I've got three scriptures in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. See, I'm not letting a man tell me how to believe. This is what we call a Bible-believing church. I'm going to take the Bible over any man, including me. Don't take my word. If I don't give you a Bible, don't believe me. Let God be true and every man a liar. Scripture says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at Acts 2:41. They that gladly received his word, talking about they received Christ. After they got saved, what happened? They were baptized. Same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. 3,000 people got saved the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 8. I love this. Philip goes out in the middle of the desert. He preached to this Ethiopian eunuch. Look at verse 36. Well, look at 35. Acts 8:35. Philip opened his mouth, began the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. People got to hear about Jesus before they can get saved. Amen. Jesus said, come now, let us reason together. You got to be able to hear before you can reason. Amen? And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Hey, here's water, Philip. Will you baptize me? Watch. Watch 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. Are you with me? Thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Tommy, he got saved right there, right out in that desert. Amen. And so Philip, verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both. They didn't sprinkle them, by the way, either. They went down both into the water, immersion, scriptural. John the Baptist immersed Jesus. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. When you bury somebody, you don't put them on the ground, just spray them with a few pieces of gravel. No, you put them down in the dirt underneath. It's a death, and then the resurrection, you come up. Amen? The water, that little baby's going to be, that little girl's going to be baptized. She's going down because she's trusted Christ, and it shows the newness of life. She's trusted Christ, and she's going to come up in the newness of life. I don't care what happens to her. She's got heaven because she's trusted Christ, her Savior. She's on her way to heaven. Amen? Not because she got baptized, but because she put her faith in Jesus. I want you to know something. He said, what stops me from getting baptized? He said, you got to believe first. You got to believe on Jesus before I baptize you. Because you could baptize this person 1,000 times if they don't trust Christ. You still don't mean nothing. Hello? I mean, you can baptize babies all you want, but they're just wet. Instead of being wet just down their diaper, now they'll be wet up and down. But they're still wet. But that means nothing. But a baby don't understand how they have to trust Christ. Hello? Now watch. Did you notice in the NIV Bible? NIV, K-E-Y, M-O-U-S-E. Did you know they took verse 37 out? Because see, they want to practice infant baptism, and they want to practice that you have to be saved, that baptism is part of your salvation. So they, when you get your NIV Bible, well, we don't have that here. We just use God's Bible, King James. But those that have an NIV, you'll find that verse 37 is not in your Bible. It's not a Bible, it's a perversion. But whatever thing you have, if you have an NIV, you'll see that verse 37 is not in there because they've omitted it because they want to teach you that baptism tries to get you to heaven. It doesn't. Amen? By the way, those same authors of the NIV, K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E, that omitted this verse 37, they came out with a new one. Now you can check it out. The new NIV. Now they got God as a woman. Yes, sir. They got God as a woman now. Her. She. Well, when you leave God's word, you leave truth. Notice also, babies don't get baptized because they got to be saved to get baptized. We don't baptize little babies here. People don't get baptized to be saved. People get baptized in obedience to God's command because they are saved. Babies aren't baptized because they haven't come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Baptism, listen, scriptural baptism only follows salvation through faith. If you've been saved, you should get baptized. But if you've never been saved, don't get baptized. It won't do you no good. And it doesn't matter if you're... by the way, baptism has no part of salvation. The thief on the cross, he died, went to heaven, never was baptized. Are you with me? Then note also, as we keep studying, look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. I'm trying to hurry here. Acts 20, and I'll put all this together. Don't give up on me yet. I'm going to put all this together. You're going to say, wow. Acts 20, 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. How many see that? Acts 20, 21. Testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks. In other words, all people. Either Jew or that's all people. Repentance towards God. Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist came in Matthew 3, 2, John the Baptist said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it was, because Christ was there. If they would have repented, he would have set up his kingdom right then. Jesus came in Luke 13, 3. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Babies cannot repent. They don't understand they have to repent. You get a baby. Now you're going to get down now, baby. Get down and say you're sorry to God. They can't repent. They don't understand that. I'm trying to reason with you. I'm really seriously. I know but I'm trying to make you think with me. There's a lot of people that believe babies are in hell. That's not true. Babies don't go to hell. They don't have they're saved. They're not accountable until they understand. A baby can't understand. Question comes, preacher, do our babies sin? Oh, you better believe your baby sins. I'll prove it to you. Anyone have a baby? You at nighttime though, I guarantee you, little grandbaby. You got tonight is a little girl, isn't it? Your grandbaby, Robin? What a little girl boy? Yeah, little boy. What's his name? Johnny. Okay. Tonight, around 3 o'clock in the morning, Johnny's gonna wake up. There's nothing wrong with him. Robin, if you don't, but Robin will go in there and pick him up. Oh, mom, baby, what's the matter? Nothing. I just wanted to let you know. I wanted you to come in and hold me. Babies are sinful. that little guy's getting you out of bed for no reason at all. Amen? Listen, there's only two reasons babies cry in most parts. Either they're wet or they're hungry. You give them, change that diaper and put that bottle, and after that, they should be able to go to sleep. Amen? Unless there's something really wrong with them. Notice, stay with me. I want you to look at Psalms with me. Psalms 51:5. Psalms 51:5. Yes, babies do sin. I'm leading up something. I'm trying to fill it in. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. I got a purpose for all this. Psalms 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. How many see that? We're born in sin. Look at Psalms 58:3. Psalms 58:3, even babies. Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. So they go astray as soon as they be born. Why do babies lie and do things wrong? You don't have to teach babies how to do right. No, you have to teach them do wrong. That's in them. We got to teach them how to do right. Hello? Now stay with me. Stay with me. Don't give up on me. Listen, in Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Every person is a living soul. And that baby that's in that womb is a living soul. Yep. And that baby grows up and they're going to live forever somewhere. When I went to Bible college, they taught about a human being. This is about every one of you here. There was a time that you did not exist. You know, there was a time that we did not exist. But there'll never be a time that you ceased to exist, now that you exist. Death is only a gate. There was a time you did not exist, but there'll never be time to cease to exist. What you do with Jesus Christ determines where you'll spend eternity. If you have faith in Christ, you'll go to heaven. If you don't have faith in Christ, you'll go to hell. You adults, you better listen to me. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, if you die, you're going to go to hell. Heaven's a real place, but it's a prepared place for prepared people. Now watch. Don't give up on me. Let me give you these real quick verses. Let me just read these to you. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That's why everybody dies, even babies. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is..." Romans 3:23, "For all sin comes short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12, watch this. "Wherefore is by one man," talking about Adam, "sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We the reason people get sick, the reason Grandpa Lemmy has to die, and other people, the reason you had to have surgery, because back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, and it's passed down to all generations. We're born with sin in us. We've got a sin nature. Every person that's ever born, other than Christ, because Christ, see, we got our blood from our daddy, the seed. See, Mary was a virgin. Jesus' blood didn't come from Joseph. Jesus' blood came from God. He had Emmanuel's blood in him. That's why he said he was God with us. He had untainted blood. That's why Jesus never sinned. He was perfect from birth. Hello? He's the only one that ever was, by the way. Now, stay with me. Watch this. When God sees you, he either sees you in the lost, fallen race of Adam, or he sees you risen and redeemed, saved in the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Look up here. Everyone look at me. You're either one or two categories right now, every one of you people. You're either lost in the fallen race of Adam, going to hell, or you've trusted Christ, you repented, and you're called what, the redeemed. You're saved. You're born again. And when God sees you, he either sees you as saved with Jesus or lost with Adam. You're either saved with Jesus or lost with Adam. Your sins are either forgiven through Christ's blood, or you're still going to pay for the judgment because you didn't accept what God gave for you, his sacrifice, Jesus, for you. Are you still with me? Watch this. Here we go. We're going to fit it in now. Look at James 4:17. Watch this. Here we go. We're getting some real good stuff now. I've laid the corners. Now I'm putting more than the border. James 4:17 says this. Therefore, see what people don't want to learn the Bible. See, Brother Kerry, I mean, it's going to take me 40 minutes to try to teach this one truth. But I'm giving you scripture on top of scripture so you can be set free, so people can be set free. A lot of people just want instant answers, and they don't know why. I want you to know why you believe what you believe. James 4:17 says this. Watch this. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know to do good and you don't do it, if you know what's right and wrong, you do wrong, it's sin. The baby, to know what to do good and not to do it. Does the baby know? The baby doesn't know. Listen, by the way, until a person comes to accountable, and there's no age. Some people try to put 12. Listen, there could be an adult that has an impairment that they never understand. Those people die and they go to heaven because they're not accountable. Babies aren't accountable because they don't understand. How many are still with me? I noted this. Get this truth. Babies, even though babies sin, God sees them as sinless because they don't know how to decide right from wrong. How many are with me? See, God reckons them as they aren't sinners because they don't understand right from wrong. How many are still with me? People must know right from wrong before they're accountable. People become accountable for their sin at different ages. All people and all children are different. And it's when people realize they're a sinner and that God Christ died for them and that they need Christ. When they realize that, then they need to be saved. It could be 4 years old. It could be five. It could be 12. It could be 30. There could be some people that never understand it. Are you still with me? This is Bible what I'm giving you. Stay with me. I've only got a few more scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Look at verse 1 through 3. At the same time, it came to disciples and to Jesus saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child. The little ones, 0 to 3, are you with me? Called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them. He said, "Do you see this little baby?" He's using the baby as an example, as an illustration. How many are with me? Jesus said in verse 3, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." What's a little child? How does God see a little child? He sees them sinless because they don't understand. But see, even though they sin, God calls them sinless. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, repented, even though I'm a sinner, God says I'm sinless because I'm in Christ. Watch. The Bible says he'll make us white as snow. Here I am. This is the greatest illustration. Here is every person in the world. Every person in the world. We're all sinners. The moment a person trusts Christ as their Savior, the Bible says he makes us white as snow. Every person, even though I'm still a sinner. Man, I'm a real sinner. Big time sinner. I'm not perfect. But when God looks on me, all he sees is a perfect holiness, the righteousness of God, Christ. And so even though I'm an old, good, rotten sinner, you run me off the road, I probably go, blah, 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 blah. Fallen nature, wrong, amen? Hello? Still you out the ball games? Hello? Throw the bum out. Hello? What's wrong with us? We're born sinners. But the day I trusted, asked Christ to save my soul, back in 1969, God saved me. He converted me. Now he looks on me just as though I've never sinned. And see, even as those little children, just even though they sin, they don't understand right from wrong. God looks at them and they'll say that they've never sinned. He said, you see how this little child that I see that, I see them that just as though they've never sinned? You got to be just like that. You got to come and repent and trust me so I can convert you, so I can look at you just as though you've never sinned. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Oh, this is so good. Now watch this. Watch this real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Here we go. I got two verses. Hold on. We're almost at the last pieces of the puzzle. By the way, Hebrews 10:17 says, "And your sins and your iniquities I'll remember no more." But I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. It's in the Old Testament. Remember in Numbers 13, Annie? Remember Moses sent out the 12 heads of each tribe to go and spy out the promised land? How many remember that? And remember, Eddie? 10 of them said, "We can't do it. There's giant. We can't do it." But two of them, Caleb and Joshua, they said, "No, we can go in there. We trust God." How many remember that? Now pick up in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And God's rehearsing this. Look at verse 34. Deuteronomy 1:34, "The Lord heard the voice of your words, and he was wroth and said, saying, surely there shall not come one of those men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he had trodden upon and to his children, because he had wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou shalt not go thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, And by the way, also Caleb, up higher there, talks about Caleb, which standeth before thee, he shall go in hither, thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Now watch 39. Watch 39. Big verse. It's going to open the puzzle up. You're going to see a lot of light when you see this verse 39. Where do children go when they die? I've got one other verse to show you in another book of the Bible. Moreover, your little ones. God's talking about the little ones again. Are you with me? Which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no they had no knowledge between good and evil. The little ones and the children had no knowledge between good and evil. How many see that? They, those ones that didn't have the knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in thither, and to them, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. What are they going to possess? The promised land. What is the promised land in type of for us? Heaven. He said, even though those other ones are going to die in the wilderness because they didn't trust me, the little ones, I'm not going to blame the little ones because they didn't know good from evil. So all the babies lived, and all the babies went into the promised land. One last scripture. 2 Samuel. You have a baby that died, that baby's in heaven right now. 2 Samuel, I'm going to read to you what King David said. I was going to read verses 12 through 14, chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14 to 23, but I'm just going to read to you the last verse, 23, because of the time. You know the story. David was out one day earlier. He saw Bathsheba sunbathing on top of the roof. Remember? He called her, had sex with her. Are you with me? Hello? They had a baby. Okay? She conceived. He had her husband killed. So she has the baby. Nathan the prophet comes and said, thou art the man. You're the guilty one, David. Are you with me? The baby gets sick. The baby's dying. David starts praying for the baby. David won't eat. He goes into a fast. He won't worship. He won't do nothing. All he's doing is praying for that baby to live. Look at the scripture. 2 Samuel. Chapter 12. And look at verse 14. Howbeit, because there's a deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child also that is born shall surely die. And Nathan departed. Okay, so look at verse 16. David therefore sought God for the child. David fasted, went in, and laid all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house rose up and went with him to raise him up in the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. You see that? And they were afraid, that they feared to tell David that he was dead. And then verse 18. Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David, verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? They said, he is dead. Now remember, he was laying down flat, wouldn't eat, wouldn't get up, wouldn't do nothing. While that baby was still alive, he was begging God to let the baby live. As soon as he found the baby died, look what happens. David rose from the earth, washed, anointed himself, changed his apparel, which is his clothes, came into the house and worshipped. Then he came to his own house and required them to set bread before him, and he did eat. He said, man, bring me some food, I'm hungry. Look at the servants. Then his servants said, what thing is this thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child? while it was alive? When the child was dead, thou didst rise up, eat bread? Now watch this, and I'm all done. He said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? Watch this next verse. What a profound verse. But now that baby, he is dead. Watch what King David says. Wherefore should I fast? Why says, there's no sense of fasting anymore. I can't bring him back. What? Can I bring him back again? No, you can't. Watch what he says. I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me. David knew that baby went straight to heaven. He said, man, that baby's in heaven. He can't come back to me. Once you leave, once you die, you can't come back. He said, my baby's in heaven. I'll go. How many believe David went to heaven? He said, my baby can't come to me. He's already went to heaven, but I'll go to heaven when I die, and I'll be with my baby. Because my baby is in heaven. David said, my infant son died and he went to heaven. He can't come back to me, but I can go to heaven when I die and be with him. Where do babies go when they die? They go to heaven where Jesus loves them. Where will you go if you die? By the way, all people die. If you want to be where those babies went, you better get saved. Because if you're not saved, you won't go to heaven. You'll go to a place called hell, and it's real. Just like heaven's real, hell's real. And they're not making no jokes about it down there. By the way, there's no unbelievers in hell. Jehovah's Witness teaches there's no hell. But there's no unbelievers in Jehovah's Witness in hell. They'll all tell you they found out it was real. Would you like to see your child again? Then you must be converted. You must be born again, because all babies go to heaven when they die, according to the scriptures. And I just took 45 minutes and showed you in the scriptures where babies go when they die. King David said, he can't come to me, but I'll go to him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you that we had this time. Thank you we have the promise of our babies when they die, they go to heaven. Lord, there's no way they can understand to be saved. They can't repent. Baptism doesn't mean anything. It doesn't get them to heaven. So, Lord, I pray that if anyone's lost babies here today, I pray, dear God, for every mom and dad that lost a child here, may they know that that precious little baby's in heaven with God right now. Oh, God. Matter of fact, in Matthew, I forgot to read it, Lord, but in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, I think it is, said the angels beheld him. They watch over him. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart that you would bless these that lost babies. Let them know, Father, that their babies are well and that they're with a loving God. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, let them know that they got to be saved to get to heaven, because they're accountable. For the man to know good and not to do it is sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, preacher, there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner, and I've asked Christ to save me. I know if I die, I go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm positive. I'm going. Amen. Thank you. You may put them down. How many say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know when I die, go to pray for him. Who'd say, just raise your hand. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Who else? Be honest with God. Be honest with you. You're going to die. Are you ready to meet God? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Preacher, pray for me. I won't embarrass you, I promise I won't, but I will pray for you. just say, Pastor, I'm raising my hand. Include me in that prayer. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Anyone else? One lady prayed. Who else? Anyone else? Pray for me.